A dangerous gap between rich and poor nations on COVID-19 vaccines threatens a permanent global economic recovery. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That warning is splashed across newspapers all around the world this morning and comes from the leaders of the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Health and the World Trade Organizations. They say while impressive progress has been made on the vaccine front for countries like the U.S. and the U.K., many in developing nations still have not received their first vaccines. The leaders warn a two-track pandemic is developing, leaving deadly variants to emerge and then ricochet across the planet. The BBC's Stephen Ryan explains what those leaders propose to tackle the problem.
Victoria, they're proposing three things. Firstly, a faster rollout of vaccines. With further investment, the current goal of inoculating 30% of people in all countries this year could be increased to 40% and at least 60% in the first half of next year. You know, right now they're worried because low-income countries account for less than 1% of all vaccines administered. Secondly, they want to ramp up vaccine production by at least a billion doses. And thirdly, they say there's a need to boost testing and tracing for COVID and things like oxygen supplies. We've seen major shortages in countries like India. So the cost, that's estimated to be around $50 billion. But they point out it would save lives, reduce infection and generate around $9 trillion in global output by 2025.
Now, this all comes as G7 finance and health ministers are meeting here in England this week.
That's right. Health ministers are set to meet at Oxford University on Thursday and Friday this week. Their finance colleagues, meanwhile, will start their weekend here in London on Friday with meetings running through Saturday. And I expect they'll be thinking about this letter from the World Bank, IMF, the World Trade Organization and the WHO, calling for much of the next phase of pandemic investment to be upfront. So more proactive with upfront vaccine donations and precautionary investments rather than a wait and see approach. Then all eyes will be on the full G7 summit, which Prime Minister Boris Johnson will host in Cornwall in the southwest of England. And that kicks off on Friday, June the 11th.
The BBC's Stephen Ryan. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Well, India is one of those countries struggling to procure enough vaccines for its 1.3 billion people. That's as it continues to battle a devastating second wave. Fresh data this week showed the economic toll the pandemic has taken. The country registered a 7.3% contraction for the year ended March. The BBC's Nikhil Anandar then explains how that's affected India's once burgeoning middle class.
Finishing up the last orders before he draws the shutters on his tailoring workshop. Mumbai, the city that gave Muhammad Alam his fortune, is also the city that snatched it away from him, his once flourishing business ravished by the pandemic. After 7 years, he's had no choice but to head back to the village.
There are no orders coming in. My 6 employees went back to the village after the lockdown was announced. People who owe me money haven't been able to pay me back, and so I may even have to sell my machines to pay off my own debts.
In the village, his dream home is only half built. He has no money to complete it. Muhammad will now take up manual labour to support his large family. Like him, the pandemic has pushed a third of India's middle-class population, about 32 million people according to Pew Research, back into poverty, setting back at least half a decade of economic gains. Many are tipping into their precious savings to stay afloat, while others have entered into a spiral of debt, says Vidya Mahambare, a professor and economist based in the city of Chennai.
Many families had to resort to liquidating their life cover to meet temporary income shortfall. This is very unfortunate, of course, because it has left their families vulnerable for future crisis.
A shrinking middle class that's badly cash-strapped isn't good news for business. Ganesh manages this mobile shop in Pune. Besides intermittent lockdowns, he's dealing with another challenge, an increasingly thrifty consumer.
Business is down 80%. People are pushing off purchases, and when they are buying, it's the cheaper gadgets. We are selling very few high-end phones.
None of this bodes well for an economic revival in Asia's third largest economy, where 60% of GDP is dependent on consumption. Without government support, that fragile engine of growth is very much under threat. In Meerut, India, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anandar for Marketplace.
To Lebanon now, where the World Bank, in a new report this morning, warns the impact of a worsening economic crisis could soon turn catastrophic. It says there's no end in sight to what may be one of the worst financial collapses the world has seen in nearly 200 years. The BBC's Alan Johnston has more on that.
The World Bank says Lebanon is sinking, going through what may be one of the worst economic collapses seen anywhere in nearly 200 years. It's likely that more than half the population now lives below the poverty line. Lebanon's difficulties are the result of decades of corruption and bad government. They've been compounded by the impact of the coronavirus and a massive explosion that devastated central Beirut last year.
The BBC's Alan Johnston reporting there. Checking the numbers now, global shares are mostly higher. That's as investors bet that as economies continue to recover from the pandemic, OPEC and its allies will ratify a deal later today to increase output next month. That's sending oil prices up between 1.4 and 1.8%. U.S. crude is at its highest level in 2.5 years. Meanwhile, shares of Kraft Heinz are slightly higher in U.S. pre-market trade. The American-based food and beverage giant said it's investing nearly $200 million in a food manufacturing facility here in England. It's the company's biggest factory expansion outside the U.S. in more than 20 years, as the BBC's Coletta Smith explains.
The Kit Green plant on the outskirts of Wigan is already Europe's largest food manufacturing site. Now it will start making sauces too, as well as continuing to make soup, pasta and baked beans. Heinz, which is the most widely sold brand of ketchup globally, was last made in the UK more than 20 years ago. But since the pandemic, the company says they've seen an increase in demand. Small packets of sauce often accompany delivery orders and have effectively replaced the bottles kept on restaurant tables. The company say the plan could create up to 50 new full-time jobs, but is still subject to approval in the US later in the year. I'm the BBC's Coletta Smith for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.